Well, it's just, I'm just going to do this. It's the news. Join me. Oh, it is Monday morning. It's already 8:48 a.m. July 24th, 20 days after the 4th of July. I think I just did that math in my head. We are here this morning. It is Monday morning, 2023, July 24th, 8:49 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we have, I got so much to do. This one show a week thing has got to stop. So tomorrow we'll have another show, and then that'll probably be the last show of the week. I don't know. I got so much going on the rest of the week. I have, it's just been one thing after another. Last week I had Monday that I had free, and then the rest of the week just went just every day. Just something came up every morning. This morning, I'm getting a new roof put on my house here. So you'll probably hear some banging in the background in the midst of the slurping, which is my cup, which is almost empty, by the way. Am I shy with, I got Cinnabon creamer in there. You can tell by where I'm at by what kind of creamer I'm using. I use Cinnabon creamer here at the house. I can't remember what kind of creamer I have at the home studio, at the international studio. I think it's Almond Joy creamer, I believe. So I've got this. I got a new roof going on the house this morning. Guys are out there pounding away. Fortunately, my studio here is in the basement, which is two floors away, if you didn't know, from my roof. So that's partially better, but there's still a lot of thumping and banging I can hear down here. That's right, kind of almost like it's on cue. So I have I don't know if you can pick that up on the. I think you probably hear that in the background. The interesting thing about what's going on though in the news cycle right now. Let's just give a synopsis, a little overview of everything going on. We have there's the whole Biden thing, and of course there's the Trump indictments. There's the Hunter Biden thing. There's the testimony of epic proportions going on before Congress right now. They're ridiculous. If any of these people are at all credible, how does the Biden family, how are they not in jail right now? How are they not in jail? All of them. Jim, anybody, all of them. Joe's brother, Hunter. Well, he admitted to, didn't pay his taxes. He admitted to that. He paid his taxes. The way the left is standing up for this, all this crap, is very telling. And I always come back to the principles of the Democrats. Okay, here's the, not the Democratics. They're the Democrats. The founding principles, not the founding principles, but the principles that they are now founded on, that they operate on under, are the end justifies the means, and power must be obtained at any cost, because panic sets in if they don't. Now, I don't know. Someone perpetuates this idea that if they lose power, that they've lost the country somehow, that the country will go downhill and the racists have taken over. They have so vilified the other side out of hysteria, not facts. It's this narrative agenda that they have that either they have started to believe or that they just need to have propagated so that they don't lose power. I believe the latter is the stronger of those two. I think there are some who are just going along with what the party's saying because they're idiots. And I mean that in a most benevolent term. There's something called useful idiots within the Rules for Radicals playbook. And there are those who will go along, and you, what you do is you convince them of these things, and then they're willing to go out and glue their hands to a asphalt road, or glue their hands to a painting, throw tomato soup on a painting. Just the absolute ridiculous, over-the-top obsession they have with virtue signaling, cancellation, censorship, all the things that they go through, all the things that they do, that just into the ridiculous hysterical, it's just amazing. It boggles the mind when you realize mass formation psychosis like this. Unfortunately, they can't always, you know, they create the monster and then they can't always keep it, you know, contained. And then the monster starts eating itself. It sees its tail and it starts to eat it. You've got the most recent example of this was when the environmentalists were protesting at a gay rights parade in San Francisco. They went out and laid down in front of the parade because they were using, you know, gas-powered vehicles to pull their floats around. And the hypocrisy goes beyond belief. It's just the double standards, the thinking that they have, the hysteria, that's the word I'm trying to get at, is off the charts. And they just continue to go down this road. And they create this monster of, you know, just like Orange Man Bad, Russia collusion. He's a Russian puppet. He's Putin's puppet. On and on and on. He's a racist. Every time they talk. Every time you heard Bernie Sanders make any speech about anything to do with Donald Trump at all, the first words out of his mouth was, he's a racist. Now, speaking of race, I'm going to go down this road. Is it Jason Aldean? Is that his name? He's got this song. Try that in a small town. It doesn't say anything about people's skin color. Not at all. He plays video of, now I'm not sure if they were acting it out or if it's actual video of events that took place during all the George Floyd riots and all the rioting that went on, all the riots that have gone on and always have gone on in bigger cities and stuff that goes on there. He's talking about, you know, spitting in a cop's face, calling them names, burning things down, carjacking some poor old lady, all these things that are going on. And all he says is, try that in a small town, you big city folks that are doing that stuff. Now, most of the Antifa folks that I saw on video, on the news, were not black people. And Matt Walsh had one of the, I think, was that was went down the road that I would, he just laid it out exactly the way, I mean, much more articulately than I can, but he said the very same thing that I was thinking. This song says nothing about anybody's race, but all of a sudden it's become a racial issue. If I list off a list of crimes, these people who are committing X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D, E, and you say, why are you picking on the black people? Who's the racist here? Who's the one that's implying that right away jumps to the conclusion that those are the people committing those crimes? If I say we need to eradicate these fat, dumb, lazy, stinky people, who's the first people that you think of? That is absolute bias. It flew in the face, in my opinion, that flies anybody who's coming out saying this is a racial issue with this song, in my opinion, shows their racial bias. It's like a mirror holding up to, right away, they jump to the conclusion that it's a racial issue. because small towns don't have people of color, minorities. It's absolutely insane. And I don't listen to the Hodge twins very much, the conservative twins or whatever they call them. They get pretty vulgar. I love their show. I love their attitude. I love their sense of humor and their sense of reasoning. They're just down home, good guys. They're just, you know, salt of the earth, kind of normal guys. Logic and reason. They like to talk things out between each other and have, but the problem is that there's a lot of vulgarity, and I get tired of that. But they came out, they grew up in a small town. But it was a town that was mostly made up of African Americans, black people, people of color. I don't know what the correct term is, so I gotta be careful what I say here. He said that was the attitude in their town. If you went into their town and you messed with people, the things that are going on in the big cities, the looting, the rioting, burning of squad cars, the kind of protests that they're doing aren't protests at all. They're just riots. Try that in a small town. I don't care what the color of the people are that live in that town. They will have nothing of it. There's a cultural difference when you know everybody in the town. And everybody knows you, and they know where you came from, and know who your parents are. I'm talking small town, not 80,000 people. I'm talking 25, 30,000 people or less. Try that. You won't get away with it. I don't care what color your skin is. The idea that this is it's a cultural thing we have going on here. And the more we excuse it, the more we allow it to continue to happen and not call it out for what it is and who's propagating it and promoting it and using it to stay in power. That's what we have on the left right now. The big scary boogeyman who is the racist. We're going to protect you from them. You have to keep us in office because we're the ones who are good. We're the good white people, the good slave owners. They want to keep you on the plantation. They don't want to tell you that you have potential. That if you work hard and discipline yourself, you can make this happen. You can become anything you want to be. Without affirmative action. There's a pot stirring in this country. And I'm not talking about Mary Jane. I'm talking about a cooking going on right now, a boiling up of some things that I think that finally, and what it's not going to take white people. I want to be very clear here. It is going to take some people in the African-American community or the people of color, the minority communities, to start standing up and being vocal about this, because academia, because that's what the left hates the most. They hate the Hodge twins. They hate Clarence Thomas. They hate anybody on the black conservative patriots or black conservative perspective. There's another guy that's got another channel. They hate it when somebody like Officer Tatum, Brandon Tatum, comes out and says, you know, stands up for Republican values or the conservative values, comes against the leftists, because they start throwing names out. They're the ones who throw out the racial slurs, Uncle Tom, all those things. There was recently a bill introduced by Senator Kennedy condemning some of the statements that were made about Clarence Thomas, saying that he was a house slave, that he was they had all kinds of names that people were calling him. One particular congressional representative, and will not apologize for calling Clarence Thomas all kinds of racial epithets. Kennedy introduced a bill condemning these statements. Senator Dick Durbin didn't like it because it only focused on Clarence Thomas. So he came out and made the statement. Can we add to this bill? Can we add other people as well? Because of all the racial epithets that were said about other people who, of the minorities on the Supreme Court. Well, you can do that. You can introduce your own bill to do those things. Why haven't you? If you're so concerned, why does it take a Republican to stand up and make a bill like this? Why weren't you leading the charge there, Mr. Durbin? Why do you have to add to a bill that a Republican? Well, this bill doesn't go far enough. Well, you should have started it then. So they're trying to jump on this bandwagon. Oh, okay, we can't have these guys coming out and standing up for this guy. What about the other side? What about the other justices that are on the court? Well, I don't know of any congressional people who've come out and actually slandered them like that. I should say it's not slander. I guess it's slander. I don't know what it is. When you say something, I'm not a doctor or a lawyer, by the way. I'm not a psychologist, life coach, financial advisor, plumber. And so these guys, you know, they come out that all of a sudden this bill is not good enough. Doesn't go far enough. They're just mad because they didn't think of it. And Senator Kennedy said, you're perfectly fine, perfectly free to have your own bill. Introduce your own bill. Because he didn't want to water down anything that was said about Clarence Thomas. He wanted this to be specifically a condemnation of the statements that were made against Clarence Thomas. I guarantee you, if things were said about any other justice, Mr. Kennedy would be the first one there to tell you to condemn those acts as well. And he was willing to say, I think that at the end of the day, they did put some other things into the bill that included other justices as well. Of course, they didn't have any specific comments like they did with the actual comments that were made by Clarence Thomas. But they were actually pushing back on it. Like they didn't really want to have that bill. And he was dumbfounded. Why would anyone not want this bill to be in place? It was basically his, you know, what are you opposing about condemning these statements that were made? They were opposing it because it was Clarence Thomas, who they don't like. Because he's not on their side. Not drinking their Kool-Aid. Their Flavor-Aid, whatever it was. These are the kind of people we're dealing with. It is not about protecting the little guy. It is not about helping the individual at all. Once in a while, I have these little conversations in my head, sitting around thinking about how would I have responded or what would I say in this particular. Of course, I always have this great response in my head as I'm thinking about it. And in the moment when something like this happens, I never have the right. I can't think that. I can't get my brain to connect with my mouth quickly enough to say the right thing. But there are some things. I was listening to a congressional interview with somebody. I can't remember who it was. And it was they were asking this guy questions and. Thinking, well, how would I have responded to that statement? The statement was pretty clearly, it they were attacking this guy. And one of the things that happened in the midst of this, and where it really started, was when this guy supposedly disrespected the congressman. And the congressman made the statement, "You'll call me, you know, senator, you call whatever it was, you'll call me congressman such and such. You'll address me as congressman such and such. I worked hard to earn that title." Something to that effect. I've heard a couple different representatives make that kind of a statement. You don't make that statement to me. I guarantee you. I will jump down your throat. You are not my lord and my king. You are elected I will respect you as an elected representative of your state. Period. You were not called to lord over me. You are called to serve me. I am the government. It is for, of, and by the people. You are not the people. You are elected to serve those who are governed, to represent them, not to be an oligarch, not to look down. If you have any respect, the most respected person in the room should be the individual, the common, everyday, average individual who walks in the door and sits down in that chair, is a legal, tax-paying citizen of this United States. You better respect them. You better not call on them to bow down to you. You should be bowing down to them. Because you swore an oath to uphold and defend their individual rights. The absolute sovereign being has walked in and sat down in front of you, and you dare to disrespect them. This is why I think it should be criminal. It's, you know, if you lie before Congress, if you lie to Congress, that's against the law. You can be put in jail for that. You can be held in contempt. But Congress can lie to you. Congress can stand up there and lie all day long. They do it every day. And I have to tell you, the Democrats are by far the biggest liars on the congressional floors. They get away with it every day because guess what? They're exempt from that. I think a bigger, and the whole reason it's wrong to lie to Congress is because you're lying to a representative of the people. You know what's worse? Lying to the people directly. It's one thing to lie to a representative. It's a whole other thing, in my opinion. It's a step up to lie to the people themselves directly, right in their face. And that's exactly what these oligarchs do. These overlords. When they talk about their democracy, they're talking about their democracy, not our democratic process that we use to elect our constitutional representative representatives. They don't understand. They have no concept of this. They have no understanding. The basic foundational fundamental principles of the individual and the oath that they swore to uphold to defend our rights. They don't like that. They don't like those rights. They think they gave us those rights. And they have all this power because they were elected. No. You had money and some kind of popularity that got you elected. Now you think you have some kind of power and authority over me. No, it's just the opposite. You're supposed to stand there and take the arrows of the attackers who are trying to take away my rights. That's your position. I'm not the one who works for you. You work for us, and they have forgotten that. And I think most of the American people have either forgotten it or never knew it, because they're not being taught, not being told. Something is happening with our educational system. They're not understanding this anymore. My understanding of liberty and individualism and the whole libertarian ideals from which the nation was founded on. I'm not talking about the Libertarian Party. It's a little askew. I'm talking about the libertarian principles that our country was founded on. Most of my education on this issue was because of, and I give credit to Ron Paul. When he was running for president, he was very clear. He made some just basic foundational fundamental. He was a good educator. He's not the best communicator necessarily in terms of his ability to make a speech. I did listen to him in person once. He was down in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I went down to listen to him. He was at a college campus, packed out the stadium and or packed out the auditorium, and it was excellent. If you look at the content of what he would say about the founding principles and how they're supposed to be implemented, he was dead on with that stuff. Understood it to the nth degree. Very, very, very incredibly intelligent with that whole stuff. And Rand has filled his shoes, in my opinion, followed in his footsteps in some ways. Has his own style, has his little different style, but I think a better communicator in some ways. Than Ron was, but his father. But it's just I learned so much from that, because starting with those basic founding principles, you can build all of your ideology and all of the understanding of the founding of our nation and what we're supposed to be, who we are as a people, is founded on those very basic principles. And it's just, you can just draw those lines straight through. It's very easy to build an understanding of, and what amazes me is how they parallel with scriptural principles. How God intends us to live according to his law. Because they were basically founded on Christian ideas and principles. And unfortunately, the leaders of the Christian church have gone off the rails in a lot of ways and not stood up to the politicians who push back. Well, you got a separation of church and state. You got to get out of our way. No, government is there to protect the church, not to attack it, not to stop it, but to protect its rights. Every church, regardless of denomination or creed, until those rights step on someone else's rights. Until those individuals in your church, because you can't just have some cult that says, no, it's okay for us to stone our children. No, it's not. The child is a life. You can't do that. I don't care if it's your religious practice or not. You cannot do it. It's illegal. Because you're taking away the rights of that individual, period. That's when religion crosses the line and government has an obligation to step in. What have I said so far? Have I even started the show yet? I don't know. I'm halfway through here and I'm not even sure I've started a show. Time for a commercial break. No, we don't have any. Well, there's no sponsors. Sorry. You get all your money's worth in this. Once again, folks, I'll just move on to some other things here. So there's the Trump indictment stuff that's going on. And obviously, you know, Trump is still out there campaigning. He's really going out back. He's pushing back on this stuff pretty good. Now there's some other indictment. It's hard to keep. You have to have a scorecard for this. And I haven't had a lot of time to really digest everything that's going on with the legal battle here. My understanding is there's more indictments coming from more states. Now, there's one that I'm mostly concerned about, and it's the one in D.C. My understanding is there's one in D.C. that's coming out with the whole, they're going to charge him with inciting an insurrection. Now, there are people in prison right now who, from January 6th who, I think one of the guys was in charge of the Proud Boys who, I'm sorry, but they're not a racist organization. They keep calling them a white supremacist group. They're not. That's just a label that they've tried to stick on these guys. And I'm surprised they haven't come out with more defense of who they are. And I think they're probably being shunned by most news organizations. Nobody's going to want to interview those guys because you're allowing a white supremacist to have a platform, whatever. Oath Keepers is another one. Oath Keepers is the furthest thing from a racist organization. If you understand anything about the founding of the Oath Keepers and what they're about, it's just ridiculous. However, there's an individual who wasn't even at the Capitol, wasn't even in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, and he's now in prison for conspiracy to incite an insurrection. I didn't actually know there was a crime on the books for that. But they got him. They got him on it. It was a D.C. court that made that happen. Now, having said all that, the amazing thing is here that Trump could end up going, and the list of things, Robert Gouveia, who is a criminal defense attorney, had some fascinating points about this whole thing. Like the indictment that went down, I think it was in Georgia or wherever, it was in Florida, the one in Miami. Everything that was going on there and how that ended up being one particular issue. And then there was the other issue of all the things that they can check the boxes on, much like the Hunter Biden issue. You know, they got all these things they could do with him while he was being arraigned or while they're making, you know, deciding on his punishment or that kind of thing. As the case was going on, one of the things they can do is they can choose to detain him if they think he's they really don't have to have any kind of the hoops to jump through. There are the qualifications to say that he needs to be incarcerated while they're going through the trial. The bar is very low there. It basically is up to the jury, whatever I don't know what the process is, but I think the judge actually can make those decisions. Can you imagine if they say, well, while the trial is going on, we need to put him in jail because he's a danger to society? It's almost as if they're trying. I know they are because this is how it will go down. As soon as people start standing up, and this is where the issue is. This is why we have a problem in this country. The individualists there's no unification here. Or maybe he's the guy who's going to bring that about. I don't know. The problem is, you know, everybody's got their gun rights. Everybody says, I'll stand on my ground on my gun rights. Okay, well, what about your neighbor's gun rights? Because at some point, they're going to take away your neighbor's guns. They're going to take away your other neighbor's guns. Everybody in the neighborhood has their guns taken away. When they come for your guns, there's nobody to help you. You're on your own. Because you didn't stand up for your neighbor. At some point, we need to start getting involved in that process. We need to start standing in the way, gluing our hands to the doors, whatever it's going to take to stop them from going down this road. Now, the ATF is... They single people out, and that's why they want to divide and conquer. That's the whole idea. It's the way the enemy works. If you look at, and this is interesting, I've kind of looked at some of the parallels of the way the enemy, the enemy of our soul, the spiritual enemy that we have, the way his kingdom operates, and basically it's out of fear. He has to operate out of fear. 365 times in the scriptures where God says to his people, do not fear. God does not. When it says, "Fear the Lord your God," that's respect. It's a respect for the Lord your God. When I work on a table saw, I have respect for that table saw, the power that it has to take off my limbs or my fingers or my digits, the harm it can cause me. I'm very careful with it. I'm not flippant around the table saw when it's running, or even when it's not running. I'm very careful with it. If I change the blade, it's unplugged. But I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it because it's a useful tool, but it's also to be respected. I believe that's what the kind of respect we're supposed to have with God. God's not a table saw, but does that give you a better understanding? Does that paint a little bit better of a picture, I guess, is what I'm asking, of the kind of fear of the Lord that we're supposed to have? Don't be flippant with a holy God. And the nature of the enemy, the way he operates, is out of fear. He keeps people trapped, enslaved with fear. Now, he can also use bitterness, hatred, all those other things that motivate people or the people that react or act out in. But the basic underlying problem is fear, because he uses the little innate little thing inside of all of us. And if you could put your finger on the very foundation, the very thing that revolves around all of our bad choices in life, is usually selfishness. And the enemy preys on that. So, God does not operate in that. So that you can, now, when you look at the political parties, the way they operate, especially the Democrats here, the fear that they operate in. Oh, Republicans are going to take away your whatever. It could be your welfare check, your food stamps. They're going to take away your rights. They're gonna put you back in chains, put you all in chains. This is the kind of fear-mongering that they do constantly. I have a relative and a once-removed relative who, before they were removed, we were coming up on an election. I think it was actually the 2016 election, I believe. Might have been the 2012. Election. I'm not sure what it was. I think it was 2016. This was in 2015. And there was all this concern about who to vote for. You know, I think it was the 2012 election, come to think of it. It was with Obama and Romney. And the statements that were coming out of my removed relative's mouth to some of my other in-laws who were struggling in life at that time, who were on welfare, I guess. They were getting some kind of government help. I'm not sure what it was. Along with family help, it was amazing to me how poorly they were managing their lives. But anyway, the issue was... And there were some things that happened to this person that they, outside of their own, that were not of their own decisions made of us, or not really. Someone else made some decisions for them that led them into a life of very difficult, a lot of difficulty for a while. One of those people who probably deserved the safety net for a while. And unfortunately, that for a while took a long, many number of years, because they became dependent upon it. Now, that's where the Democrats want you to be, dependent upon the government. Because now they can control you. Oh, Republicans are going to take that away from you. You can't survive without it. You're going to die homeless, out on the street, because evil Republicans are going to kick you out of your house, take away your funding. So you got to vote for the Democrats. Because they're going to make sure you get paid. They're buying your vote. Keep them in power by staying in poverty. Right where we want you. And I happen to know this person, this particular individual. Well, let's just say that that's what happened. That was the statement that was made. And it kind of nonchalantly, inadvertently got back to me about it. I heard about it. That was the rationale for this person convincing them that they needed to vote Democrat. And that is the kind of fear-mongering that we see over and over from that party. Now, the Republicans do this to some degree as well. And they're hypocrites about it as well. Because they will come out, some of these the establishment Republicans will come out and say, well, you need to protect faith and family, and we're the party of values and family values, blah, 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 blah. They're trying to think. Well, that's pretty true. Because they do, and you could bring receipts on all that stuff as far as what the Democrats do. Now, the problem is that Republicans, once they are in leadership, they don't have they have a tendency to like to lead from behind. They'd rather be in the minority where they don't have to make the decisions. They can just stand there and make big speeches. Oh, we're going to make some big speeches. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, what they're doing is terrible. Well, then when they get into power, they don't do anything about it. Now, there's a little bit more fire under their bellies, under their butts right now, because they've got some people who are actually standing up for actual principles, trying to hold their feet to the fire, trying to make them actually do something. Because the American people, those who are truly awake, understand what's going on in politics. We're getting fed up with this crap. They're starting to look at them and go, you know what? You guys need to do something. Somebody better fix this, because we're getting tired of it. If you guys won't do it, it's not going to end well. We're counting on you guys to get this done. We elected you to do this. Stop asking for money till you get something done. We're going to vote you out again, or we're just going to stop voting altogether, because who cares? At this point, if you're not going to do anything about it, then we've lost the nation. We'll just have to hunker down and do what we can. It's just, it amazes me that they get into power and they start going down this road. And this, you see, like, Sandy Cortez has done the same thing. Oh, she was all, you know, full of all kinds of stuff. She was part of the squad, and there ain't nothing wrong with doing that. And she was coming out and making all these stupid speeches, saying, you know, trying to talk street slang. It blows my mind when people do that. So anyway, the pandering is just unbelievable. I'd be so offended by the way that if somebody started talking like that to me. So they come out. In fact, I was in Australia once, and this, of course, they have this proper British accent. It's not really proper at all. The Britons think the Aussies are the southern drawl of the British language. And they have he had the audacity, talking to me to my face. I was having lunch with this guy, and he tried to do this drawl thing, to speak English and with the drawl. Well, I'm just here with this thing and blah, blah, blah. And he was talking about me. And it's kind of water off a duck's back. I don't care. Whatever, make a joke about me all you want to. Whatever. But first of all, I don't talk like that. Secondly, what if I did? Does that make me stupid? Now, there is a new language emerging in our nation, by the way. Speaking of languages, I'm going to go down this path. I wasn't going to do this, but this is like a side thing. I'm just going to go down a full blast path on this. There is a language emerging that I believe comes from a rap culture mentality. Now, of course, when I say rap culture, I'm talking about, you know, the predominantly 95% of rap music and rap culture is a particular ethnic group. They are developing within this culture a language of their own, a way of speaking of their own, which is perfectly fine. But what I'm seeing almost all the time is that the people who are speaking this language that I can hardly understand, they have so twisted words and the pronunciation of things, I can barely understand them, let alone all the little idiosyncrasies and things that they throw in. The synonym, well, I don't know what you call them, the little adonyms, whatever you call them. Little phrases and words that have a particular meaning. On top of that, I have no idea what you're saying. I don't know what you're saying to me. I was trying to do business with a guy. I had him cleaning up my yard. And I talked to him face to face. I could kind of understand what he was saying. We went around. I said, because this is what the stuff I want you to do. I have this, this, and this. I want you to, you're going to do this and this, and you're going to put this over here, and you're going to, you know, you're going to, maybe he didn't understand what I was saying. I don't know. I wanted, you know, the sidewalks need to be edged. Some of the trees need to be, those little tree sprouts need to be cut down. Some shrubs need to be trimmed. You know, I was going to pay him good money to do all this stuff. It's going to take a couple days. I was going to pay him $500 to do this stuff. He said he could get it done in a day. I had to go on a trip, and so I said, you know, let me know how it's going. Send me some pictures. I wanted him to write it all down, put it in writing, what he's going to do. It's because this is what this is what you're going to do. Put it in writing for me. I was trying to help this guy start a business, what I was trying to do. I thought this guy could probably, he had just gotten out of prison. I thought, you know, if you do this, I can help you. I can give you promotions. You can use me as a reference. You can start your own landscaping business here if you want to. I'm willing to help you do that. In fact, I even supplied him with some tools, some trimmers and stuff like that. So you use the tools. I gave him, he wanted some money up front. So I gave him a couple $100. I left on a trip the next day. I get a call the following day. I got everything done. And of course, he's like, got something in his mouth and he's talking and it's like he's trying to eat something. I'm not sure if he's snacking on something, what he was doing. And he was talking this language that I could hardly understand what he was saying to me, which is kind of the way he talked before, but I could at least kind of communicate with him because we were right there face to face. But over the phone, it was impossible. He said he had it all done. I said, really? You already got all that done? That's amazing. So you got all the edging, everything done? Because I'm thinking, if I did this, I would spend at least two full days working. And probably wouldn't get it all done, but I'd have it done at least to the point where I'd, you know, be happy with it. And sure enough, you know, he tells me he's got it done. I said, can you send me some pictures? He sent me one picture of the one side of the building that had gotten some stuff taken down. What I didn't see was the big pile of stuff that he just laid on the other side of the building and didn't do anything on the other 75% of the building. No edging, no other trimming, no trees were trimmed down. Shrubs weren't trimmed. Nothing was trimmed. Yard wasn't even mowed. That was the biggest part of the deal. Just get the yard mowed. And I was going to have him like keep the place up. I was going to pay him weekly to keep the place mowed. He didn't do that. And I sent him the money because he needed the money really bad. So I had to send him money over Cash App or whatever it was. So I did. Got home. Nothing was done. And I find out that he didn't do any of the work himself. He had somebody else that he paid like $50 or $100 or something to do all the work. Well, that guy came to me then later, said, I'll do this work. And he told me, I'll do it for $500. Okay. So I said, okay. Well, he wanted the money. He was like, I need some money for this weekend. Can you pay me up front? Okay. Now he did actually do some work. He did about half of the work. I came back. He wanted to get paid. I said, you haven't finished the job. So I'm going to go ahead and pay you. But you need to come back and finish the job. And I want my tools. I gave him some tools too. I haven't seen my tools or the rest of the job finished at all. I had to go back and finish the job. That was last year. This has both happened to me last year, two in a row, just like that. I was done. I'm done with that. No more of this. I don't do business with people anymore. I'm willing to give somebody the benefit of the doubt just to help them out at least a little bit. I went over and above. Some people say I'm a fool for doing it. Maybe I am, but I want to try to give somebody some trust. I want them to help at least try to feel like they have an opportunity. They can't come back on me and say I didn't give them an opportunity or I didn't trust them. Or that I put them in some kind of a weird position. But that's going to happen now. The next guy. In fact, there's a guy right now wants to do some cleanup work around my... I approached him. This is different. These other people approached me. I'm approaching this guy who has done some work for my neighbor and has done a good job. Young kid. So I basically have said, we'll talk about it. Let's put it down. Now the price is less than what these other guys were wanting. I'm going to meet with the guy today and we're going to put everything on paper. He's not getting a dime till the job's done. Sorry, buddy, but that's the way I've been treated. That's the culture we're going to live in. That's the culture we've got to live with. That's the way it's going to work. Because I'm not doing it anymore. I'm sorry. Been taken too many times. Yeah, I don't think I'm wrong in asking for some, for just being, you don't like those rules, then just go work for somebody else then. I'm not obligated to give you a job. Sorry. Just because you want to do it doesn't mean I have to pay you. In fact, if you do it and you don't do it right, I don't have to pay you. It's we'll go to court over that. So, anyway, I'm a little bit bitter. Because I got taken. And what bothers me most is not that I got taken necessarily. It's that I like to do things with money. I like to give to things. And the whole time I'm thinking, what could I have done with that money? Who could I have really blessed? There are kids I could have sent on mission trips with that money. There are things I could have done to help disaster relief or whatever it was. I'm thinking this whole time, I really feel like I was foolish with that money. I got taken and those people took from someone else who could have used that money. I live a pretty frugal life. I don't buy new stuff. I buy used stuff. I try to fix things up. So I've got a stack of junk here to keep stuff fixed up with. I need a part for something, I can just make it. If I have the time. I know my wife doesn't like it. It does look like a trash heap here sometimes. Until we need something, and then all of a sudden I pull it out and say, oh, I guess we needed that. Yeah, that's why it's here. It was trash, but all of a sudden we need it. It doesn't look so trashy anymore. So there you go, folks. I guess that's my rant for the day. A lot of things happening, and I think a lot of things that we need to continue to remain in prayer for. Now, the good news is, I have good news about this. There's going to be a show tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, there will be another show. I don't know about Wednesday. It's very possible Wednesday morning there will not be a show. However, it's very possible Wednesday morning There might be a show. I just don't know. It's just tough, too tough to tell at this point. I've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Again, very difficult for me to put anything down. If I do have a show on Wednesday, it's probably going to be a live show. It's probably going to be very early if I do have one, possibly. We'll see how it goes. Not sure how it's going to work out, but it could be late in the afternoon. Who knows? It could be any time. But tomorrow morning, for pretty sure, going to be a show. God bless, folks. Pray for the nation. Pray for each other. Have a great week.